Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome into the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by KeystoneSportsNetwork.com, the Keystone Sports Network, and the Keystone Sports app. Dustin Hockensmith here with Greg Pickle. We are getting started right now. A Penn State football, a recruiting-centric show on deck for you. We're going to kick off a new series where we're looking at recruiting trends and themes over James Franklin's tenure here at Penn State. Hits, misses, what they're looking for in guys, what they're getting, what they need to do going forward, 2019 and beyond. We're going to do quarterbacks coming up, running backs after that. We'll also, I'm sure, get into some recruiting stuff. Ask Greg. This is where Gregory over here will take your Penn State football and recruiting questions. That's coming up later in the show. And we are going to round out this edition with Penn State wrestling. Brandon Pelter will join us to talk about the end of an era. Zane Rutherford, senior day at Penn State over the weekend in a huge win over Buffalo. Not huge in magnitude, huge in point differential, put it that way. So we'll get into all that stuff a little bit later. I did want to start with quarterback recruiting, Greg, and I know we talked about the depth chart in a whole separate series earlier this week. You can check that out at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. But the notion, let's just start here, that Penn State doesn't need a five-star quarterback, doesn't need a 6'5", 235-pound, prototypical, quote-unquote, quarterback to do what they want to do offensively. Yeah. You've seen a lot of the same themes and the guys that they've brought in, but why no need for the five-star?
Yeah, you know, I think that it's hard to really put it into words. I mean, I think that it's hard because when you look at the makeup of the recruiting across the board, that not just Penn State's doing, but everyone's doing, I don't know why, but the last few classes, I feel like there's been less five-stars out there to go after. So I just think that sometimes, even though you might have a guy that's that caliber, and look, I think James Franklin probably would answer that by saying, well, every guy we recruit in our mind is a five-star. But, yeah. You know, as it relates to what Penn State's been doing, I just think to me that they are close, but they're just not getting that kind of guy just yet. So I do think, though, that one thing we've noticed, and I thought it was a really neat look that Athlon Sports had last week, was that Penn State's average class ranking has shot up since James Franklin got here. That's just not average star ranking. It's also average class position, if you will. So no one in the Big Ten tops Ohio State. They average out to top three over the last 5 years. They have only once finished outside the top five recruiting-wise over the last five. So no one's at that level. But Penn State's going up and up and up. You're going to start seeing more five stars as that trend continues.
Along those lines, is Penn State not a more stable and consistent commodity when it comes to on the field and recruiting than Michigan
yeah.
is?
Oh, absolutely.
You know, that Michigan is in this combustible situation, and really, you know, recruiting was a little disappointing, I thought, Big Ten-wide in the 2018 cycle. You had Penn State and Ohio State and everybody else yep. after that. To not have Michigan, to not have, you know, you never really have Wisconsin. You never really have Michigan State.
Right.
They have demonstrated that they can go a long way without recruiting in a big-time way, but you can only do it so consistently go so far if you don't.
To me, you're only going to have – like, you're going to have the seasons like Michigan State had 2 years ago where you're, what, 3-9 or whatever they were. I mean, yeah. you're not going to every single year have the kind of guys that play at a high enough level across the board to be able to do it. So – I think that's a key, but then again, you're going to get guys like Brian Lewerke, who is a stud at quarterback, and Trace McSorley obviously is in a similar boat to Brian Lewerke. So you can do it for an extended period of time, but it's not going to be consistent, I don't think, year in and year out. So that's thing one. Thing two is that Michigan State maybe is in a different boat because they're in the Big Ten East, but in the Big Ten West, you can do that, and you might only have some high four stars and mostly three star guys. Now, granted, you might not ever win the Big Ten championship. You might get there every year, but never win it. You could be the Bills of the Big Ten. But I just think that that when it all comes down to it, Wisconsin at some point is going to be challenged by Scott Frost and Nebraska. And as hard as it is for Nebraska to recruit there, they're going to start getting some of these higher four. I think they're going to start. I don't know if they'll ever get to a recruiting point where they're like Penn State, like Ohio State, what Michigan's usually able to do. I don't know if they'll ever be at that point. But they're going to start recruiting better than I think Nebraska's recruited in quite some time. That's going to put the onus on Wisconsin to up its game as well. And again, it'll be interesting to see how the Big Ten West continues to try and chase the Big Ten East because, Dustin, they're just not. It's not really a level playing field when you talk about where the rosters are from a recruiting perspective, fairly or unfairly. That's just the way it is based on the numbers. The West, if it's ever going to get to a point where it can consistently potentially beat the East in the Big Ten title game, it just has to recruit better. There's no way around it.
You bring up something interesting when you mention Brian Lewerke, and it falls into that three-star quarterback conversation. That, you know, especially in college and the NFL starting to change its thinking a little bit with quarterback dimensions. You can have a guy who's 5'11", 6 feet tall, who makes the grade athletically. And certainly Trace McSorley, Sean Clifford, Tommy Stevens, Will Levis, they all make the grade athletically. In some of those cases, that's understating what they can do as athletes.
Right.
But it really points to, in the recruiting process, in the evaluation process, of coaches coming to an understanding with the guys that they want, that this guy can handle – you know, attribute X, Y, Z that we need of him. This guy can handle making quick decisions. This guy is smart. He's going to be in the weight room longer. He's going to be able to have guys gravitate towards him. I think it's been, you know, not a well-kept secret, but it's been something that in the evaluation process, there are still some flaws when it comes to quarterbacks. Good athletes who are quick thinkers, who are not quitters, who are good leaders, all that kind of stuff. It's something that Penn State has really found a way to tap into. And to some extent, what we're talking about, there's incomplete information out there because we don't know for certain anything beyond what they've gotten out of Trace McSorley so far. We've seen a whole bunch of glimpses. We've heard a lot of positive stuff about Tommy Stevens, but we still don't know if you plug him in as a full-time starter, if he's going to be an impact player or not. We just believe he's going to be.
Right, and I think that's where you get into this conversation. And again, we've had it before about, so you have this three-star guy who you think can be really good. You have this three-star guy that you know is really good. And then sometimes you get the five-star guys like Christian Hackenberg, who just don't pan out to be what you think they're going to be. So it can work both ways. But you're right. I think for the most part, the five-star guys are the ones that you can – I mean, let's be honest. You can count on most of those guys to pan out over the long haul. If you get five stars, you can almost assume that at least four of them are going to end up being what you think they are. If you get five three-stars –
might be the position that goes against that thinking the most.
Right, fair. And to go back to earlier, too, there seems to be less five-star quarterbacks now than ever before. So I think the recruiting services are agreeing with that, and they're only making the best of the best guys the five-star recruits. Yeah. Everybody else gets a high four-star ranking. I mean, you look at I know it stings to bring his name back up, but Justin Fields, I mean, that kid is a bona fide five-star recruit. I will be stunned if he does not turn out to be a Heisman contending level quarterback. I just think he's that good. There's guys like Will Levis who certainly could reach that point. But coming out of high school, it's just not as clear. You know, he's very athletic. He has a good arm, but he has some accuracy things to work on, things like that. It's not as clear if he will be at that level, but Justin Fields sure looks like it. So I agree with you, though. I think they're making less of these guys now because they're starting to realize that the proliferation of the internet and also of talent and recruiting camps and Rivals has theirs and Adidas has one and Under Armour has one. More kids than ever are being noticed. Doesn't mean, though, that the pool of ones that rise to that level is any bigger than it used to be.
You're listening to the Keystone Kickoff Show talking Penn State football, Penn State quarterback recruiting. And while we're on the subject, and you've already unearthed the sting, Greg, let's talk about Justin Fields, because it is a storyline here that Penn State has not gotten to the finish line with its two most touted quarterbacks of them all. It's great to be able to defy star ratings. It's great to make the most out of three stars and turn a guy like Trace McSorley into a Heisman contender, probably an NFL draft pick. But how they lose Brandon Wimbush and Justin Fields, you know, guys who could have been here. Why haven't they landed a higher profile quarterback? When will they land a higher profile quarterback? Do they care about higher profile quarterbacks?
Well, so a couple different things there. Number one, the loss of Brandon Wimbush, game in and game out, you just wonder if it is as great. But then this goes back to it. He looked like a surefire can't miss four star. And it just hasn't worked out yet.
Are you down on him now?
I don't know if I'm down on him, but I'm just...
I watched him play at Notre Dame, and I thought, why are they not asking him to do a little bit more? They put him out there, and there was a clear lack of trust about the full gamut of things he needed
to do. Yeah, so you just wonder what made that. Was it stuff he did in practice, or is it just the way that the coach, the philosophy of the coaching staff? I honestly don't know, but I will say this. I guess I thought I'd see more from him in his college career up to this point. So I guess that goes to the point, though, is that sometimes you think when he was Penn State commit, I wrote it. A lot of people wrote it. I was certain he was a surefire, can't miss 4-year starter.
He had it all.
Yeah.
As a high school quarterback, he had it all. He was basically just a little lesser version of what Justin Fields was in the 2018 class. I think you can still see growth from Wimbush, not to rub salt in the wound or whatever. It's worked out for everybody.
Right.
That Wimbush can have some, you know, really accelerated growth in the next couple of years.
Right. So, you know, but to go back to the conversation about Penn State, I just don't – Sue Fields was a tough case. He was a 5-star. He loved Penn State. He lived in Georgia. Georgia was a longtime favorite of his. He ends up going to Georgia. Phil Jurkovec, guy seemed, as far as I know, loved Notre Dame. He was a Pennsylvania kid. He wanted to go to Notre Dame. So you can, you know, say what you want about Penn State losing a top-flight quarterback to Notre Dame, but one was in New Jersey and really wanted to go to Notre Dame, and one's in Pennsylvania and really wanted to go to Notre Dame. The kid that I'm watching now, who I think is going to be either a really high 4-star or a 5-star, and I don't know about Taquan Roberson. I don't know what the camp circuit will do for him in terms of moving him up from where he's at now, which is a 3-star. Rankings-wise, he's the middle of the pack. I'm not going to try and say his name, but you can look him up. The quarterback that Penn State just offered, a 4-star from Connecticut. He's a really talented kid with a hard name to pronounce, but he got offers from Florida State. He's got picked up a few other offers recently. I believe Michigan's in the play. And he's kind of like Justin Shorter to me, Dustin, where his spring is going to see his stock just shoot through the roof. He is going to be a guy that, you know, those following closely at this time of the year thought he was really good, and others are going to become define that point. And I think he'll be a top 10 passer by the time the summer gets here. So I think he's the next guy Penn State could maybe get at that level. Otherwise, I don't know. It seems no matter what numbers they put up, who's coaching, etc., they have a hard time finding and locking down that big name top 5 quarterback that's been out there and, you know, committed at one point, and then it was, you know, they get away and it's been elusive ever since.
Well, this bringing up the Connecticut quarterback, they've got to commit in tow. Is this the year that they get a second? You know, I think it's been an objective for several recruiting cycles, but it's
absolutely
easier said than done.
Yeah, no. I mean, I think it's something that they've wanted to do since they got here, but the problem is that when they have these first, you know, once the first guy commits, Garrett Trader's in this class too, a 4-star 2019 kid that's long had a Penn State offer at quarterback. Again, the problem is once you have one guy in, somebody has to decide whether or not they want to come and compete for that job or find a spot where maybe they are just a guy.
Yeah, it's, you know, competing for a job on the depth chart as a whole is hard. Competing with somebody in your same class is hard. All right, we're going to do the same thing here. Running backs, looking at Penn State's recruiting trends there right after this. Hey, Dustin Hawkinsmith here from the Keystone Sports Network. I wanted to share my own firsthand experience using 409 tailgate sauce. It's a product you hear about often on the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is not an advertisement. It is a fact. 409 tailgate sauce is different from every barbecue sauce I have ever bought. It's not that thick, syrupy, artificial stuff you'll find on grocery store shelves. It's lighter, it's more versatile, and it's good on just about everything. I'd recommend going to 409tailgateclub.com right now. See what I mean, experience that difference, and tailgate with honor.
160,000 miles. That's on average how often you'll use your car insurance. But what if you could get help with more often? Maybe save a couple of bucks on clothes or at restaurants. What if you could even get rescued roadside when a tire goes flat or your battery dies? You can. When you're a member and your auto insurance is AAA. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about how AAA works at every mile.
The harsh rain and wind ahead will be very tough on your roof. Prepare for the season by showing your roof you give a shingle and call Long Roofing. That's Long, L-O-N-G, the name that's been trusted by families across the Mid-Atlantic region for more than 70 years. Right now, you will get free gutters with your roof replacement from our friends at Long Roofing. Give them a call today for a free estimate on your roof at 844-405-LONG. That's 844-405-L-O-N-G.